Tag lieben Glauben Globen.
This is Lee Hazelwood.
And Nancy Sinatra.
You know, some velvet morning when I'm straight, I'm gonna turn on
WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Hey, cowboy, where'd you get that funny hat?
90.7 FM.
The Athens Cultural Center invites you to join us each month for our first Friday happy hour from 4 to 7 p.m. Come enjoy free wine and nibbles amongst rotating works of art in a welcoming atmosphere for all. The Athens Cultural Center is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to uplift creative voices within our community and beyond through access to the arts, educational classes, and other programming such as performance and film screenings. Find us at 24 Second Street in Athens, New York, and online at athensculturalcenter.org.
WGXC, radio for open ears. If you like what you're hearing, you know, WGXC has been really producing some excellent music programming, some entertaining satire, important local information. Become a sustaining supporter. Go to the website wgxc.org and click on that donate button. Help keep local hands-on community radio alive.
The Alan Skerritt Scholarship Fund Committee is pleased to announce a showing of community member Alan Skerritt's photography collection, which includes many of his original works. The opening event is scheduled at the Columbia Green Community College Library from 4 to 6 p.m. on Friday, September 27th, and the exhibition runs until October 14th. The Alan Skerritt Scholarship is meant for a student at Columbia Green Community College majoring in human services or psychology and who has demonstrated a commitment to social justice in the community. More information can be found at columbiagreen.edu. And any questions may be addressed to jeffrovitz@gmail.com. That's jeffrovitz@gmail.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. WGXC local business supporters help us continue to be a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. Thank you, Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant.
And welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC. Every episode, we pick a theme and then we get on the airwaves to talk about the movies that we watched around that theme. We usually keep it a secret from each other, so it's a surprise to hear about what Jenny watched when we get on the air. It's so fun.
Thrilling.
And as always, before we get into our theme for tonight, we're going to tell you a little bit about what's playing in the theaters around these parts. So I'm going to tell you first about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have The Joker, Folie à Deux, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, and The Wild Robot. You can find out more by going to WyndhamTheater.com. That's spelled WyndhamTheater.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Crandall Theater over in Chatham. We have Yesterday, in case you forgot about that movie. It's back. It's the one where the Beatles didn't exist.
Oh, yeah.
But the one guy does know about them. We also have Daytime Revolution, Music for Mushrooms, Creep Box, Gosford Park, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I Like It Here. And if you're interested in any of those movies or their showtimes, you can head on over to crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, New York, which, by the way, their final weekend, they close for the season. Their final weekend is the weekend of the 20th. So you have two more weekends of movies. And this weekend, On screen one, we have Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, and Joker, Folie à Deux. On screen two, we have the Addams Family and Addams Family Values. On screen three, we have Terrifier 3 and The Substance. And on screen four, there's The Wild Robot and Transformers 1. You can find out more by going to highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAYdrivein.com.
All right, and now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Films location, starting with the location in Rhinebeck, otherwise known as the Star Cinema. Yeah, I'm really quiet. Is that what you're trying to fix?
You're really quiet.
I'm very quiet, and that's I'm actually mic two, it turns out. I thought it was mic one. Thank you. So sorry. Sorry for the technical interruption. We're still.
Yeah, no, my gain's up really high.
It's up real high. You are this one. Yeah. Well, while we adjust that, please listen close. I'm doing my very best to speak up, so I hope you can hear me. If you would like to see any movies in Rhinebeck this week, you can look forward to Saturday Night, The Apprentice, Ed Wood, The Outrun, Blink, and Into the Light, Meaningful Recovery from Psychosis. I kind of think maybe it's not my microphone that I'm hearing myself.
I think it's the headphones or something.
No, I'm not seeing my little lights are not coming up at all.
Oh.
It's me. I think it's...
Hello.
Yeah, hello. Hello. Yeah, but yours were up real high, and mine were up real tiny, itty bitty.
I don't know.
Well.
All right. Well, we'll soldier on.
My hope is that you will just be able to hear me.
Yeah. Keep on going. Tell us about the movies. I'll mess with the soundboard.
All right. So that's in Rhinebeck. If you're interested in what's playing at Upstate in Sotheby's, we have Piece by Piece, The Outrun, A Different Man, The Wild Robot, and Megalopolis. And if you're interested in any of those movies or anything else that's going on at Upstate Films, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org.
And I am not very good at tech, so I could not figure it out. All right, so I am going to tell you about what's playing at Story Screen Cinema in Hudson, New York. We have... Hold on one second. That's the new old theater that's on Fairview Avenue in Hudson, the three-screen theater that's right by the wine shop. We have coming up, and this week we have Joker, Folie à Deux, The Wild Robot, A Different Man, Megalopolis, Terrifier 2, and Terrifier 3 double feature. Terrifier 3, and that's all for right now, but you can find out a whole lot more about what's coming up and playing right now by going to storyscreenpresents.com. Again, we apologize for these technical difficulties. We are...
I'm starting to believe that our microphones are labeled incorrectly because now it's working.
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, I turned the opposite mic up. Mm-hmm. And so I think my mic is labeled wrong.
There you go.
Yeah. I think now we're both pretty good.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great to me.
We did it, baby.
You did it. Credit where credit's due.
Oh, it's just touching buttons till something happens.
Do you have more theaters?
Yes, I do. Okay. Now my last theater is TSL. So I'm just going to tell you about what's playing at TSL this month. So pretty exciting for the month of October. TSL is highlighting the legendary partnership of Antonioni with Monica Vitti. So they're playing La Ventura, L'Eclisse, and Red Desert, which are all movies from the 60s, if you're interested in any of those. And then in addition to those, they also have Julian Schnabel's Basquiat, a new restoration of Candy Mountain from 1987.
Oh, I've always wanted to see that movie.
Me too. A new restoration of Merchant Ivory's Heat and Dust from 1983, in addition to also, they're doing kind of a Merchant and Ivory series also, because they also have Howard's End from 1992, and I believe Morris also from 1987. In addition, they got a lot going on this month. There's also a new movie called Mad About the Boy, which is playing, in addition to another new movie called Nocturne. And if you're interested in any of those or any of the other cool events that they have going on, they have, as always, the Met Opera Live, a couple weekends this month. Maybe just one weekend. No, a couple weekends. You can find out more information at timeandspace.org.
Amazing. All right. And last but not least at all is the Spotlight Theater in Hudson, New York, also on Fairview Avenue. We have Joker Folie à Deux, White Bird, The Wild Robot, Bagman, Transformers 1, Speak No Evil, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Lee, and Reagan.
Reagan.
About former actor and President Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
Oh, Ronnie.
Starring Dennis Quaid.
D. Quaid.
In addition to, I don't know if you heard about this one, the stunt casting, which is Scott Stapp playing Frank Sinatra.
No.
Yes. It, as featured in the movie Reagan.
No.
Huge news for Creed heads. Scott Stapp is back and he's playing old Blue Eyes.
Oh my God. Sinatra is rolling over in his grave.
He was a huge Creed head. We'll never know.
I mean, you could say Scott Stapp is a crooner.
He is. He's got a beautiful voice, famously.
Oh, that's sickening.
Isn't that incredible?
Wow. I love it. Hate it. Amazing. All right. So tonight, Jenny and I are here to talk. Well, it's October, so we're watching a lot of horror movies, even though Jenny and I do that pretty regularly. We're big genre heads, so we do often spend a lot of time on the airwaves talking about scary movies, but especially this month. And tonight's theme, somewhat in honor of the release of the remake of the movie Speak No Evil, we're talking about movies where people are not necessarily even too trusting, but are too polite to see past the red flags and stop what's happening to them.
Yeah. I think of it as, it's a very hard theme to articulate.
Yes.
But I think of it largely as people who are trapped by what they believe to be social mores.
Yes.
And therefore simply cannot act even when faced with absolute lunacy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a beautiful, thank you, Jenny. That's a perfect, beautiful way to put it. Oftentimes you'll see this subgenre within the subgenre of like home invasion movies.
Yeah.
Like a good example would be Funny Games, which of course things go bad very quickly in that, but these Funny Games the original is German?
German, yeah.
Yeah, German, and then also with a U.S. remake about a couple and their young son who are going to stay at a lake house and some very strange boys show up and start their interaction by just asking to borrow more and more stuff. And our main couple are just, should have shut the door a long time ago.
They just keep letting them in. It's like, stop. Hey, stop.
Stop. Yeah. So
it's kind of like In Praise of Rudeness, which ordinarily Amanda and I are both very into manners and being polite.
Yeah.
So it is, I think probably partially why we like this theme is that it's like you can see yourself so easily in this position.
You really can. You really can. Because it also is, I think it's just as important as I think manners are. I think it's important to see the best in people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Like, of course.
I think we're... There's been enough moral panics that have been based on you can't trust anybody and everybody's out to get you,
right.
You know, stranger danger and whatnot.
Yeah, totally.
But really most people in this world, I think, are very good.
Yeah. Just trying to do their own thing.
Yeah, exactly. But these movies are about people who are very, very, very much not good. And the characters in them should have seen that a long time ago.
Yep.
So should we... Go right in.
Let's go right in.
Speak No Evil.
Do you want to start? I watched the original because I had never seen it.
Yeah.
Which is so funny when they do this. It's from 2022. And for those of you, as Amanda said, one was just released last month, a remake in this year, 2024, only 2 years later.
Yeah.
An English language remake. Although I assumed the original was also largely in like Dutch or Danish, but it's also mostly in English.
That's so right. Like,
what is the point of remaking this?
I totally forgot
it's so
that.
So weird.
I guess it's just because like that movie, the original, the Danish 2022 Speak No Evil, did very well.
Right.
Like it had a lot of buzz. Yeah. And so I feel like there's a real money grab there where totally. It's like a lot of American audiences did not see this because it was not an American film.
Right. That's true. They kind of give it the Hollywood treatment.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, all right, let's keep milking this and make. Yeah.
God, they love to do that.
So
allow me to tell you about the 2022 movie, Speak No Evil, directed by Christian Toftrup. It's about the main couple that we're following is Danish. It's a husband and a wife and a young daughter, and they are on vacation in Italy. When at like staying at a villa where many other families are also vacationing, and one night at dinner, they meet another couple who are there with their young son. And the two dads immediately hit it off. The other family is Dutch, so to keep it incredibly confusing.
Yes, exactly. I have no idea where either of those are from.
who could say?
I don't know.
But so the father, who is our protagonist, is named Bjorn, and he meets a man named Patrick, who is seemingly incredibly charismatic. He's kind of holding court at this table where everyone who's on vacation is eating together, like at a long banquet style table. And he's like telling stories about his past and like, you know, cheersing to everyone. Our main character Bjorn is like instantly smitten with him.
Yeah. Patrick is the life of the party.
Yep. And so, you know, the next day while they're on vacation, Bjorn and his wife, whose name is Louise, are just wandering around with their daughter, and they run into the same couple again, and instantly also like have a nice little connection. Like the other couple, it's Patrick and his wife's name is Karen, and they are like, again, like incredibly charismatic, very charming, like very much like, oh, it's been so lovely here, like great conversationalists. So they like have this little chat in the street and then immediately part ways. After our main couple is home for a couple of weeks, they get a postcard in the mail inviting them to Patrick and Karen's home in Holland, where they live for the weekend, just to come because they had such a nice time on vacation. They send a postcard that's a picture of both their families hanging out together, like in the street where they ran into each other. And Bjorn is instantly like, let's go.
Yeah.
I really think we should hang out with them. I think it would be extremely rude if we didn't. Mm-hmm. And his wife, Louise, is like, I actually super think it's super weird to go hang out with people we've never met, really, who we don't know very well.
Like, we had a good time on vacation, but vacation and friends can stay that way.
And, like, obviously all we have is what we've seen in the film, but, like, in the movie they talk for maybe a total of, like, 10 minutes. Like, it is extremely brief. They really don't know each other at all. But Bjorn is like, I don't know, it's like, it's such a nice invitation. It would be so great to go on a nice long weekend again. And, you know, he's a doctor. He's so cool and glamorous. Like, let's go. And so begrudgingly, Louise is like, okay, you're right. I guess it would be rude if we didn't. And like she kind of, first she kind of shuts it down. And then Bjorn brings it up in front of other people to be like, wouldn't it be so rude if we didn't go?
What a pill.
He's such a pill. And the other couple's like, yeah, I guess so. And he's like, see, we should go. So they go to visit Patrick and Karen in their beautiful cabin.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Lovely
in Holland.
Farmhouse.
Lovely farmhouse. Gorgeous. No neighbors for miles. And instantly they start having a really bad time.
Yeah. what's her name? Louise?
Louise.
Yeah. So our main character, the Danish characters. Yeah. They like Louise is a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So things immediately kind of go offbeat when they first get there, and the hosting couple serves them a really nice meal, and it's a big main roast course.
Yeah.
Big old roast. And they make Louise eat a bite.
Yep. And when they're on vacation together, she does mention that she's a vegetarian because they have a meal together. So they are aware of it, but obviously they're not, there's like a little bit of plausible deniability there where it's absolutely. Like, well, they don't know each other well at all. So like they probably just forgot. Why
easy
would you
to
remember?
Forget. And like she's trying to be polite. So mm-hmm. she eats the bite. Like they don't like force her
right,
for
totally.
It. Yeah. So
he's like, no, definitely have a taste. Have a taste. And she's like, oh, no, I couldn't. And then she does. And yeah. it's like, Louise, just tell him you're a vegetarian.
This is exactly why this is a perfect fitting movie, because there's. Yeah, lots of moments where you can even politely speak up for yourself.
Totally.
But
it's yeah. not enough.
It's not enough.
Yeah. And so from there, the weekend progresses where this couple is just nothing like what they showed Bjorn and Louise on vacation. They're incredibly crass. They're incredibly, like...
They're very outwardly sexual
they're
with
very,
each other.
Yes. And like they're kind of getting wasted all the time. They're very nasty to their child.
Yes.
They beat him like in front of them at one point and they yell at him. And something that's very notable is that we never hear him speak.
The son.
And Patrick explains it to Bjorn as a like birth defect, essentially, where he has no tongue or a very small tongue is mm-hmm. what he says. And he was born with it. And so he's very shy thusly. And when they're on vacation, they're like very sweet and loving to him. So like Patrick and Louise don't think anything of it. They're just like, oh, yeah, he's really shy, whatever. But then as soon as they get to the house, they really kind of immediately start acting like lunatics.
Yeah.
And there's like a moment pretty early on during the first night where Louise is like, I think maybe we should just go. And Bjorn is like, it would be so rude if we left right now. Like we have to, it's going to be better tomorrow. They're just like, we don't know them that well yet. You know, yeah. we're just like getting comfortable. Yeah. They're different. They're Dutch.
And a really important feature too of both of these movies, including the remake, is that, it really, really is a story about male loneliness mm-hmm. and yes. like desire for male friendship. And Bjorn is kind of a meek man.
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
And Patrick is like, again, yeah, life of the party, really big personality. Yes. And so, yeah, like Bjorn has a crush on him
yeah.
and wants to be bros so bad. And during this trip as well, like Patrick takes Bjorn out for like a little guy date and they like scream off of a cliff
yep.
and really get some masculine energy out. And
totally.
It feels so good for Bjorn yeah. who feels very buttoned up and like, and is so deeply desiring this masculine energy summit.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. He's really, Bjorn is like, starts to be like, yeah, they are really weird. I don't know. Like they're doing weird stuff, but like, he is so unable to act or like say anything that he just kind of goes along with it and like starts to kind of be like, yeah, maybe we should go, I guess. I don't know. You're overreacting. But then as soon as he starts to question it a little bit, Patrick gets him alone.
Yes.
And then they have like a really nice time and he feels really seen. And he's suddenly like, oh no, like I just didn't understand him before. Like he's this, it's so painful to watch him because it's just, he just cannot, like he sees all of the red flags, but he's like, I must not be understanding it correctly. And
yes.
it's like, you are like, you know, this is wrong, but you just can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things where like everything other than kind of being abusive to their kid, Patrick and Karen do is like so minor that it's really yeah. hard. There is a scene, pretty like probably 2/3 of the way through the movie where, Bjorn and maybe even halfway, Bjorn and Louise try to leave. They like, they drive away like very early in the middle of the night and then realize that their daughter left her stuffed bunny there. Mm-hmm. And so they have to drive back. And when Bjorn goes in, Patrick and Karen catch him and they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you leaving? And he finally, like Louise kind of finally actually speaks up and is like, you guys are really weird. Like you're acting really strange. Like you fed me meat. I'm a vegetarian. Like you were driving drunk last night. Like you kept turning up the music and wouldn't turn it down again. And just like lists all these grievances that when she lists them sound so petty.
Yes. Yeah.
And like, even though obviously like drunk driving is very serious, but like, she's just the way that she says it, even though it is exactly the objective view of what has happened. It sounds like, oh, you're just like being a baby, like you're
yeah.
being so dramatic. We're
yeah.
hosting you. We're being like incredibly kind hosts.
Yeah, it makes you sound like a not fun or like not a loosened up person.
Yes,
you
totally,
know?
And like an ungrateful guest.
Yeah,
and so like they kind of are instantly cowed into staying another day because they're like, oh, but today's going to be even better. Like you know, we're sorry. Like, you know, we definitely partied a little too hard last night, but I thought we were having a really nice time. Like, why are you guys upset? And so kind of instantly gaslights them into staying. And it's just so brutal to watch. Because, you know, as the weekend is going, you're like, something really crazy is happening here, but you don't quite know what it is.
Yeah.
And so you're like, God, I wish you would just leave because it's such a bummer to
be
here.
You're not having a good time.
Right, they're having a terrible time. And it's like nothing like horrifying has happened yet. It's just like, wow, these people suck. Like, you're terrible to hang out with.
You're not gelling.
Exactly. You just shouldn't be friends. And then should I spoil?
Yeah, I think we're going to go ahead and spoil both of these movies.
Yes.
I know I'm going to spoil the new one. So, and I know it's still in theaters. So please, spoilers ahead, turn on down the show if you don't want to hear the spoilers.
Take a little break, come back, listen to our archive in a couple weeks after you go see the fresh one.
Yeah.
But also, you know, we always talk about this, but a lot of these movies, I think, are so vibey, too, that, like, the plot isn't even necessarily that, like, it's not that important to not know it going in.
Both these movies are very thrilling, and you're going to be thrilled.
Yes. I was extremely, interested. It was very...
I've seen
compelled.
Both the original and the new one, and they're very, very similar, and I still found the new one very tense.
Yeah. But so, after another day of things still being very weird, this is when we actually see Patrick and Karen like hit their son, like they throw something at him, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
as he and their Bjorn and Louise's daughter like try to do like a little performance.
They have a dance routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like kids do when they're hanging out. They make up a dance routine and Patrick freaks out and is like, "You have no rhythm, my son.
Mm-hmm.
You're an idiot." And like, yeah, starts
like,
to
hits him and like throws something at him. It's so and like is like, "You have to do it correctly."
Yeah.
And it's so intense. So it kind of like things kind of escalate from there. I'm trying to remember when we get the reveal even. Like they I guess they just stay for dinner and they're like, "We're gonna leave tomorrow," but while everybody's sleeping, kind of. Oh yeah, it is like while everybody's sleeping, Bjorn gets up to get some water or something and like wanders around and goes they have like a little almost like a studio that's mm-hmm. like on the same property as the house, but it's a separate building, which Bjorn had looked into earlier in the movie, but it was locked and he didn't see anything inside. So he's like returning to it just to see what's in there. And he climbs up the stairs of this like little studio building and what should be at the top, but an attic full of photos with lots and lots of other families who look a lot like them. Where it's a couple with a little kid, and who else is in all of those pictures but Patrick and Karen with a different child in every single photo. Mm. And Bjorn starts to question it finally. He's like, "Something's very wrong here."
Yep. Yep.
And as he goes back downstairs, there's a pool in that same building, I think.
Like a little hot tub.
Like a little hot tub pool. And the son is dead in the pool.
Yes.
And so from there, he freaks out and is like, "Okay, we have to get out of here." However, he wakes up Louise and he takes the daughter. Oh, this is what it was. They wake up in the middle of the night and see that
the couple's sleeping with the daughter in the bed.
Yes.
Is why they first try to leave.
Yes. And they're both naked because they like fell asleep naked. And
they're like crazy Europeans.
Yeah, totally.
They sleep naked.
And so they're really upset and they try to take her away. I guess that's the night before.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's so chaotic. So he wakes up Louise and their daughter and grabs them and throws them in the car and starts driving away. However, they have no gas. Like the gas is basically empty, but he never tells them what's going on because he simply cannot act. It drove me so crazy.
I know.
So they run out of gas on the side of the road, like maybe a couple miles away from the house. He pulls over. He gets out of the car to run to the closest house to like knock on the door to ask for help, even though he knows that Patrick is probably following them because he saw them leave and he like watched him leave, and he leaves Louise and their daughter in the car and does not tell them anything. And he runs to get help. Nobody's there. When he goes back, Patrick has taken Louise and his daughter. And then he gets in the car with them, with Bjorn and his family, and also, oh my God, it's so confusing. both couples are in this. Are
like, we can paraphrase
anyway,
it too.
I know. I'm sorry. I haven't really thought about it yet. It's been a lot of time since I watched this. But so they're all in the car together. And Bjorn knows that Patrick is going to do something terrible to his daughter and probably to him and his wife. And yet he just lets the drive. He like lets Bjorn continue driving or lets Patrick continue driving. And then they are met by another car who comes and grabs their daughter. Like a guy just comes out and grabs their daughter. They cut off her tongue.
Yep.
And he takes the daughter away. And then Patrick and Karen take Bjorn and Louise to a rock quarry, the same rock quarry where they had their little male bonding moment earlier, like make them walk down into the quarry and then they stone them to death.
Yep. And that's the end.
And that's the end.
And
of
that
the
is
movie.
Why a lot of American audiences did not love it.
It's a very dark film.
Very, very European.
Very European.
So I've seen it. I saw it when it came out. I liked it enough. There was a lot more fanfare around it. Like a lot of people that I knew liked it a lot more than I did. I think the reason that I didn't like it is not because it was bleak, but because it's not just frustrating watching these characters not stick up for themselves, but it almost to a certain point feels very hard to believe.
Yes, there is a certain point after which it's like there's no meek, like the meek person on the earth doesn't exist that would be this meek.
Exactly. So I will say about the 2024 remake. Well, actually, first, did you like it?
I did like it. I definitely was like, oh, what a bummer. And like, I think to me, I had the same problem where it's like, it does feel a little bit hard to believe, although I can imagine somebody who, I mean, Bjorn is just so frozen that it makes sense to me. The thing that I kind of struggled with is like the kidnapping of the child thing, where I'm like, I understand that as a method to like lure people in, but I'm like, they're not gaining anything from it. Like they're not getting any money. They're not like, I don't understand the motives of Patrick and Karen.
Yeah. That's more like where they're true monsters and villains,
right,
where it's like, you're just psychos and you want children.
Right. Totally.
You want new kids all the time.
Right. I guess that's fair. It's just, to me it was like, this is interesting, but I don't really understand why we're doing it.
Main thing too is like, you know, they send Bjorn and
Louise
down into the rock quarry, you know, at gunpoint.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, would be better to start running and get shot to death.
Yes, absolutely.
Instead of getting
stoned.
Well,
it's so crazy that they just lie down and take it. It feels incredibly European as like a metaphor where it's like, they're just accepting. After a certain point, they aren't acting like people. They're acting like archetypes.
Which is like, I feel like there's a lot of European horror that ends up being like, oh, this is about some government stuff that I don't understand.
Exactly.
I don't understand.
I don't have the context for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the American remake does have plenty of differences.
Mm-hmm.
Same overall idea. Mm-hmm. Like Scoot McNairy is playing.
Love Scoot.
Yeah, we love Scoot.
Love Scoot.
So
he's Scoot, the Bjorn, I assume.
Yeah, Scoot is the Bjorn. Mackenzie Davis is Louise,
who
has the same name. And the our couple, so they're American and they've just moved to London.
Mm-hmm.
And for what is Scoot? His name is Ben in this. Bjorn is Ben.
Yeah.
So they've just moved to London for Ben's job. They've detached themselves from everything they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet this couple on vacation, and they're a British couple. So they invite them to the West Country, to their beautiful farmhouse. Same old thing. And very much the same story of, like, meek man wanting, he's so desperate for this friendship. The American one actually adds a lot of context that feels really... not that it's even necessary, because I kind of like that the Danish one leaves a lot of space for you to fill in, and you know, we're not dumb. Like, we can understand why.
Totally. There's like very little is explained. Yeah.
Yeah. We can understand why these characters are the way they are, but the American one does kind of, add some context, which I think is helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, Louise and Ben are having trouble in their marriage. Like, he found sex on her phone. She was like sexting with somebody.
Yeah.
So they've been having, he's feeling very emasculated
right, totally.
Already.
Yeah.
The daughter, the whole thing for going back for the stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. So that happens. That's a real mid-movie pinnacle because Louise finds the daughter asleep in bed with the parents mm-hmm. and the son. And she's like, that is not appropriate.
Yeah, totally.
So that's when Louise Mackenzie Davis is like, we're going. The daughter panics because she doesn't have the rabbit, which mm-hmm. normally you'd be like, that's ridiculous. We'll get you another rabbit. But the daughter has like, she's like an attachment issue.
Yeah,
like it's
totally.
Like a mental health thing. Yeah. So it's a lot more, they make it a lot more understandable,
yeah, totally.
Which is great. Like she has panic attacks yeah. without it. So, there's some differences that I like. Then there's some ones that are less subtle and maybe not necessary, but might be helpful for a lot of audience members. Like when they go back to get the rabbit stuffed animal and get caught by the couple, when Louise does finally have her, you know, she keeps mm-hmm. looking. There's so many great scenes of her continually looking over to Ben mm-hmm. to be like, come on, dude, stick up for yourself.
For yeah.
And of course he doesn't. So she's finally like, you're weird. We're having a bad time. Yeah. And it was deeply inappropriate that I found my daughter in your bed. Mm-hmm. And Karen's character is named Kira. And Kira's like we had a daughter who died a crib death.
Whoa.
And like I have a hard time understanding like motherly boundaries. Like
right.
I heard her crying at night.
Right. Totally.
So I just took her and you know, you weren't waking up.
Yeah.
So there's extra added stuff mm-hmm. for instead of that scene in the Danish one where it's like everything out of your mouth just sounds like you're being a brat.
Totally, yeah.
This one is more like the couple really has incredible excuses.
Right. They're like, no, there's a reason for that.
They have just, really.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like there's a very uncomfortable lunch picnic scene where Karen mm-hmm. is telling the daughter like, oh, like chew with your mouth closed. Like mm-hmm. she's parenting
right, yeah,
the daughter.
Totally.
And finally, Louise is like, stop that. That's
yeah, totally.
Not your job. That's my job. And, you know, there's a whole like, oh, well, she grew up in the system. Like everyone raised each other. Like
Whoa.
She, you know, so
yeah,
there's
totally.
A lot of excuses. Yeah. And all those things I think are kind of good changes.
Mm-hmm.
There's one main change that they make that I find so deeply unnecessary. So James McAvoy's character is named Patty instead of Patrick.
Okay.
So it's Patty and Kira. James yep. McAvoy is playing the baddie.
Yeah, totally.
Those are our baddies.
The bad daddy.
The American one also has a lot of humor in it because James McAvoy is very funny.
Yeah, totally.
He's fully been like, I was a heartthrob. Now I'm going to be the most jacked up weirdo
yes.
you've ever seen in your
I
life.
I love that for him, frankly.
I love it yeah. too because honestly, like, he does an amazing job in this movie. It's kind of overacted,
yeah.
but it makes it more fun.
Yeah, amazing.
It's kind of more fun. And but so clearly Kira is much younger.
Mm-hmm.
than
oh,
Patty
uh-huh.
and they there's a reveal that like he kidnapped her as a child
Whoa.
And like groomed her into like his child bride
right totally
like now in the present of the movie she's probably in her 30s
right, totally.
but
she wasn't always
yeah so they make him a added pedophile which is just really not necessary
yeah,
he's
totally.
Already so scary and
right.
it's also okay for her to be equally
also
a
evil.
Psycho
yeah totally.
You know
it's like it's more interesting that like when there are both adult evil people
yeah
like
yeah.
yeah who have their own agency and like they're just like a true freak for freak
yeah and they you know they say in the movie at one point like they've always tried to have a kid and like oh it just keeps not working out and that's good enough
yeah
that's
totally.
All you need you
yeah.
don't need it to be like he's groomed her into
right
being his partner and also partner in crime like you know
yeah totally yeah.
It's fine.
That seems like such a, that also feels like such a vulgar, like a vulgar American addition
yes,
to be like.
It is. And then to counterbalance that, because Americans can take a certain kind of vulgarity and not a certain
yeah.
kind of tragedy, Everybody Lives.
Oh, of course.
Well,
they
the baddies
do.
Die and all the
no,
goodies live.
That's so stupid.
Yes. Yeah. So they are. Everyone's found everything out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, Ben is very frustrating, but there is a kind of, he is starting to catch up to where Louise is and
right.
like, yeah, this isn't right. the young son who's had his tongue cut out and the daughter have befriended. They're actually a lot more, they're better characters.
Right.
Like they have more of a role in the movie, which is cool too. And they make friends. The kid shows the daughter the trapdoor room that's full of people's suitcases and passports and phones. And so the daughter fakes her first period to get her mom alone in the bathroom to show her on her little cell phone, because kids all have cell phones. She's like, I took pictures of the pictures of all the families. So they figure it out together. Uh-huh. They're like, we're going to act normal. We're going to be like, it's time to go. She just got her first period. Right. She's freaking freaked out.
Yeah.
And everyone's doing a good job acting, too. I'm great. Like not a hater of the American one. I think some people are, but I'm not a hater. I think it's fun.
I love all those actors, so I'm stoked to see it still.
And I'm sorry I'm spoiling it.
No, it's all right. I can take it.
Oh, should I stop?
No. I said I can take it. No, okay. I want to hear it. I want to know. I'm like dying to know.
Yeah, so they are making their like uncomfortable escape. Yep. Like, you know,
we have to go.
Kira and Patty keep doing very creepy things. Like, oh, well, what about your stuffed bunny? Don't forget it this time. Oh, it's up on the roof. Guess dad's going to have to get on a ladder and get it. I'll spot you from down here. Like, they make it very.
God, I love that stuff.
The tire is punctured.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, don't worry, man. I'll fix it up. And Scoot McNary's like, oh, I have AAA. We paid for a yearly membership. Like, so weak. It's so good.
Incredible.
And so they are finally getting out, and they know about the boy as well. They know he's kidnapped. And so they're like, oh, I forget what his name is, like Aunt or something. Aunt.
Aunt.
They're like, Aunt, will you get the property gate for us? Mm. You know, like to try to get him away from the parents so they can grab him too. Because they want to save him as well. And then of course, Patty is like, no, it's cool. I got a button to open the gate. So they're like, all right, the daughter's like, we got to save Aunt. And they're like, we'll come back for him. We'll get help. And as they're driving away, they see Patty throw Aunt into the pond. There's like a big pond.
Yep, totally.
Which is where Aunt's poor parents are. That's where
everybody's in the lake.
Everyone's in the little lake. So of course they go back and turn around, and thus ensues, instead of the whole rock quarry business, thus ensues, you know, they're all kidnapped. They're about to cut out the daughter's tongue. Louise, who is a badass, has stolen a box cutter.
Oh, nice.
You know, so they escape. And then there's this whole kind of fun, thrilling part of them barricading themselves in their house.
So fun.
It's like there's a lot more thrill in this
totally.
One.
Yeah.
There's a whole fun portion of the movie that's just them, and there's that other random third guy who's another local who benefits from them robbing people.
Right, totally.
Like, they're like, we just want the kids, but they sell the cars to that guy, so like he comes in the mix, and there's a whole literal fun home invasion.
Oh, that's
part
so
of it.
Fun. Oh my gosh, amazing.
Yeah
because that's I think to me, from your description, it sounds like the Danish version of Speak No Evil is like it's obviously more somber, but it's also like, it feels much more like allegorical, very like, it's just an incredibly dark story about dark people.
It's subtler too.
It's much
you know,
classic
again,
European version of a movie.
That whole scene you're saying where in the Danish one, where Louise is like, you guys are weird. You played music too loud and you got too drunk. And like, that's kind of nice because it is more subtle.
Totally.
You know that it's been a really uncomfortable time.
Right.
And those things would make a lot of us uncomfortable. So I appreciate the subtlety of it being more on the edge.
Absolutely.
You know, like more somewhat excusable behavior, but uncomfortable behavior.
Right. Whereas the American remake feels much more like just like a kind of it sounds funnier in a way that is very interesting, but kind of like a very silly thriller in a way.
Yeah.
Or like it has those darker elements, but explaining all of the information, which like I don't Like, I know I was like, I don't understand why they're taking these kids, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
No part of the Danish one really doesn't explain anything, but I still understood what was going on. Like, I didn't need any of that. It's just, it's telling this very bleak story. And the American one's like, let me like fill out all these details for you. And also let's like throw a little home invasion in there, which is like, honestly, more fun.
Yeah.
But I would say like, probably like maybe not as well, what is good? You know, it's doing a different project. They're doing two different projects.
Yeah, exactly. It's less of a film and more of a movie.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
And you know, I love a movie. Baby.
And yeah, I don't really know what people are saying about it. I feel like it's probably not as appreciated as the Danish one, but I don't know. I mean, again, to me, the American one added some like little contextual details that made the couple sticking around feel a little more believable.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
like, let me make this even more like quote unquote realistic for a viewer, especially an American viewer, mm-hmm. where I do think there's something interesting. At least I didn't do that much research into this topic because I didn't have a ton of time, but the two movies that I watched were both European. And then I was thinking a lot about Funny Games, which is also European. And like, it does feel the insistence on, following like social rules and staying incredibly polite above all else does feel like particularly European to me.
Well, it's definitely a way that Europe and especially like England
absolutely
views and makes fun of themselves.
Yes,
like
totally.
Even in their humor.
Yes, absolutely.
Like Monty Python is a lot about that, like, oh
right, like not saying something directly because that would be too rude, but like still not to say that they are not able to be rude, obviously. We're also talking about so many people on the earth, and you know, people are very different, but like it feels like a very distinctly American thing to be like, if somebody did something kind of insane, to be like, that was insane. Like, not, you know, it feels like you do need to explain a little bit more of it away.
It's true. It leans a lot further on the Ben Bjorn, that character, needing this.
Right. Totally.
You know, it does. And them having marital problems and him historically not sticking up for himself or actually primarily for Louise.
Right. Totally.
You know, so yeah, it does need that.
He's got no spine.
Because
it
is true. It is a very European thing.
Yeah.
What was the other movie you watched?
The other movie I watched, it was like not amazing, but I still had a great time watching it. It's a movie from 2020 called A Perfect Enemy, which I watched for free on Roku, I think. It's one of those ones where it's like for free a million places with commercials. It is, I believe it's a joint German, Spanish, and French film.
Okay.
It's one of those where everybody had a hand in it. But it's like a tight 89 minutes, and it feels like a psychological thriller that would have been made in the year 2002 for like $20. Ooh. But instead they made it in 2020 and it's European.
Yes.
It's very fun. It's about an architect who's probably in his like 50s or 60s, who is leaving a conference, and he is on his way to the airport in the pouring rain in a taxi cab, or he's like getting chauffeured basically from the venue. And while they're at a stoplight in crazy traffic, a young girl who's like probably in her 20s knocks on the window and is like, hey, are you going to the airport? I can't get a cab and I'm going to miss my flight. And he hesitates, and then because she's dripping wet.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, get in, and like lets her in. And then the film is basically the two of them. They have like a really weird conversation in the car. They get to the airport. He's like, okay, bye. And like leaves her. He misses his flight. And then she also misses her flight. And then they have this very weird, long conversation where she's acting truly crazy. Like she just is, like it almost has like a Manic Pixie Dream Girl vibe where like she is saying like absolutely unhinged stuff.
Uh-huh.
And in his defense, he very early on is like, this is making me uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
But then she keeps kind of like dragging him in because her story is so interesting. And it's a really weird movie. I'm not going to spoil it because I do think it's probably worth watching if you're into this kind of movie. But essentially she starts to tell a story about herself as a child and this main character whose name is Jeremy, or Jeremy Yachts, because he's Polish, mm-hmm. but everybody calls him Jeremy. He is seeing things in his life that really reflect the stories that she's telling. Oh. Like, it feels very familiar to him. It's a really weird movie to try to describe because it's so... It's entirely just a conversation between the two of them.
Whoa.
So it's like without recounting the whole conversation, I don't know how I would begin to summarize it.
Yeah.
But
where do things go wrong?
If things go wrong because she is not who she says she is.
Ah.
And so they're spending a lot of time in this airport together. Honestly, it's one of those ones where it's a lot of stuff is not really explained and it's just really weird and things kind of go off the rails. Because she is kind of scary.
Yeah.
And she's got a knife.
Yeah. Interesting that it's in a public place.
It's in a public place, but there's not a lot of people in the airport, weirdly.
Mm.
It has, like, not to give too much away, although I kind of figured it out pretty early. I didn't figure out who she was very early on, but there's a scene pretty early where somebody pours him a glass of water and they don't pour her a glass of water. And I was like, can anybody see her? I wonder if anyone could see her. And so that's what it gave me, like a little bit of a Fight Club vibe, which like, I don't think that doesn't like actually give it away. Cause she's not like a version. She's not him. Like it's he's not Tyler Durden-ing himself, but it has that kind of a vibe of that like psychological thriller. And it is just like, because he started talking to this girl and gave her a ride, it all goes so downhill and it like fully implodes his entire life. Like it's not just that one day in the airport. It like, reaches back into his past also. And it's really interesting. It's not, I don't think it's like an excellent movie because I found myself feeling a little confused by the end in a way that was like, not necessarily, I think some of it's on purpose. I think some of it's ambivalent.
But some of it was like, this is because it's like about, it's like, you know,
it felt like they didn't know how to end it. Like it was like, you're not sure how to end it. So you're leaving it ambivalent in this way that doesn't feel, or ambiguous rather, in this way that doesn't feel, like meaningful kind of.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting and it was cool to watch a movie that was like, when was this made? Like I really genuinely thought it was like an early 2000s movie. Almost like Identity style.
Yeah.
But it's from 2022 or sorry, 2020. It's bizarre. I think if we had more time, I would go into more detail, but because it's 7:51, I'm like, if I start to unpack it, I'll never be able to stop.
So you'll be unpacking this for the rest of your life.
I'll be unpacking this for the rest of my life. But it's just a really interesting, really weird movie called A Perfect Enemy.
Oh.
And is she a perfect enemy for him. But yeah, it turns out just like, don't give somebody a ride.
No.
If it's raining, even when it's raining and they're like,
did they not learn
really
that
cute.
In Europe? Do they still hitchhike in there?
I don't know. She was desperate, but he shouldn't have done it.
Cause they didn't have like murdering hippies there.
Oh, that's a really good question.
I mean, it's like all the Manson murders, I feel like is what they say is like
the end of the 60s
and like the, no more giving rides to strangers.
The cycling down of trusting other people.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, I know. I'm sorry. That's maybe not a very satisfying description.
All I want to know is she him?
No.
Oh.
I'm not sure. It's unclear.
Okay.
Like, yes. Okay. The thing that's also really weird, her name is Tessel Texter, and she says it like 100 times. She's like, hi, I'm Tessel Texter, and I'm Dutch. It's like,
oh,
wow, just like the Dutch people and Speak No Evil.
Oh.
So it goes.
The other movie I watched is also a European movie. It's a British movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 2008.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Eden Lake.
Oh.
And it stars Michael Fassbender and Kelly Riley,
uh-huh.
who's the redhead from Yellowstone.
Uh-huh.
I was like, Yellow Jacket.
Jackets?
It's Yellowstone. And the second season of True Detective.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's very stunning. This movie is not a bad movie, but it's a very bad time.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Fassbender and Kelly Riley play Jenny and Steve, who are going on a weekend getaway to a quarry lake called Eden Lake that Steve visited when he was a younger man, and he's like, it's gorgeous. It's in a very rural area in England, in a low-income village or near a low-income village, and it is soon going to be, it has been purchased by developers and it's soon going to be turned into luxury condos all around the lake. So there's a lot of class tension and very short. Jenny and Steve run into some little hoods, as they say, some young bad teens, uh-huh. some young bad teens, and their altercations escalate severely. It starts out with just them running in, like, suntanning on the beach, and these kids come and they're blasting their radio, and Michael Fassbender, is Steve, says, hey, could you turn that music down? These kids are like, F off, you know, they, like, huge attitude. Again, as they say, as they call them in England, little hoods. Yeah. And these teens steal Jenny and Steve's car and take it for a joyride. And when Jenny and Steve find the kids hanging out, camping in the woods, they have another altercation where Steve accidentally kills the leader of this little gang.
Oh, no.
Kills his dog.
Oh.
And from there, that is the worst thing that could have happened, because these the leader of this kid gang is played by, what's his name, Jack O'Connell, who people might know from, he was in the third and fourth season of Skins. Mm. He played Cook, but he has the perfect look and face for a little British gangster.
Yeah.
He's
little guy in a tracksuit.
He's a nasty kid. Yeah. And he is actually truly a kid psycho. Like, he's clearly the leader of this gang. And they essentially repeatedly kidnap and torture Steve and Kelly in the woods. Steve and Jenny in the woods. And he, the main character, Jack O'Connell's character, who's, I can't remember his name in the movie. There's a lot of the, mm-hmm. lot of the kids, but I think his name's Brett. That's right. So... Brett's clearly the ringleader, and eventually throughout these truly horrific things that are happening, the other kids are like, we really want to stop. We've been chasing these people through the woods and torturing them for days, and like, we're all part of some really serious crimes.
Right.
And Brett will not let the other kids stop or leave. And long story short, because we're running out of time, they murder Steve. Kelly is surviving and running away from them. Kelly has managed... Jenny... I'm sorry. I know. Your sister's Kelly.
I know.
I saw Kelly today. Jenny, you're Jenny. Jenny keeps running away and escaping from them over and over again. Finally manages to... She accidentally kills one of them, who's like kind of the most remorseful, played by Thomas Turgoose, who's the little kid in This Is England.
Oh.
Accidentally kills him when he finds her by himself, and he apologizes
or
is like, miss, and then she stabs him. And she runs over another one of them when she steals a car, uh-huh. and gets back to town. She finds some adults at a house party in town. She's all covered in blood and muck and barely there. Unfortunately, these parents are the parents of the children.
No.
And they first take her in, and then they find out that a bunch of their children are dead, and they kill her.
Oh my God. Wow. Bleak.
Yes. It's very bleak. It's kind of part of a, it's part of a moral panic that mm-hmm. was happening in England at the
yes.
time, that was broken Britain,
right.
about, worrying about the youth of England and demonizing, lower income mm-hmm. families and lack of education mm-hmm. or discipline.
Right.
It's a little bit confused. It's very political. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit confused, because Jenny and Steve are yuppies, and they
totally.
Are very comfortable strolling into this,
right.
this town. But it is pretty much just painting the people in this community in a very, very
yeah.
bad light.
Bummer, dude.
So it's like, it's fairly misguided.
Yeah, totally.
If you like really bleak, gory right. stuff, then go for it.
But dubious message, but like interesting movie.
Yeah. And the way that it fit the theme for me, it's less so than some other movies, but again, really Fassbender's character, Steve's assumption that like, I'm an adult and these are kids.
Right. Totally.
And like, they're going to listen to me.
Right. Like being like, I'm in charge.
I'm an adult and I'm a stranger and I'm going to talk to them like they're kids. And also they're a different class than me.
Right. Totally.
And like they, you know, like I can handle this.
Yeah.
You know,
no, you can't.
No, you can't.
No, you cannot. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of where it fits, but it's mostly, yeah, it was just really bleak.
Yeah. It's a really tricky theme, but like a really interesting one. It's like interesting to try to think about it because there are so many horror movies where you are watching somebody ignore red flag after red flag. And it's like, it's very specific. But fun to think about.
Fun to think about.
This has been Dim the Lights, Jenny and Amanda, here on WGXE 90.7. Next time we'll be back with something also spooky.